Film studios washed over in gold, the Warner Brothers shield, an AOL Time Warner company. In the darkness, a lighthouse beam sweeps round. As the sun rises, the lighthouse is silhouetted against its glowing orb. Castle Rock Entertainment, a Time Warner company. Six bent pieces of steel form a V-shape, Village Roadshow Pictures. The sun shines brightly as children romp around in an adventure-style playground, New Jersey, 1982. One bespectacled child with her dark brown hair in plaits has her face buried in a book entitled The Invisible Intruder. She lowers the novel looking over at a boy who's bullying another boy.
Oh boy.
She gets to her feet. The bully is ripping out work from the other boy's folders. The bespectacled girl regards them.
Problem, gentlemen?
Hey, dork brain. If you weren't a girl, I'd beat your face off.
Yeah? If you weren't a girl, I'd beat your face off.
Call me a girl.
You called me one.
Oh, you asked for it.
The girl moves as he punches and he hits a wooden post. She steps on his foot, then floors him.
Now get out of here.
Holding his nose, the bully scarpers. The girl picks up the other boy's scrumpled homework.
Forget those guys. They're just jealous because you're smart and funny. And girls like that.
What girls?
Lots of girls. I mean, I like you.
Well, I don't like you. Now everybody thinks I need a girl to fight for me. You are a dwarf brain.
The girl screws up her face and punches him. He flees holding his nose. The girl scowls after him.
Whip!
Sandra Bullock, Michael Caine, Benjamin Bratt, Miss Congeniality. The girl, Gracie Hart, now a dark-haired young woman wearing the same black-framed glasses, sits in a dingy restaurant. She eyes two guys at the bar, one tall and slim, the other shorter and fatter with a round face. Gracie looks down at her book, implanted in which is a tiny camera.
Mo and Larry in the house.
A surveillance team is set up in a van outside.
Grant, what have we got out back?
All clear here, sir.
Matthews, what do you got?
Returnable cans, sir. I think I'm up to 75 cents.
A cab pulls up outside the club.
Hey, you got a cab.
Dressed as a tramp, Matthews looks up.
Here comes Curly.
A goatee-bearded man holding a briefcase gets out of the cab and holds the door open for a mean-looking mustachioed man smoking a cigar. He throws the stub down near Matthews, who's crouched on the rain-soaked pavement. The two men enter the establishment and the mean-faced mustachioed guy greets the round-faced man. Gracie glances at them, then picks up a piece of bread and talks into her book.
Yep, the Three Stooges.
The group prepare to sit at a table. The mustachioed guy opens his coat, revealing a gun.
Check it out, Ivan's packing.
The tall, slim guy pours the round-faced man a drink. Gracie watches them closely through the camera in her book. The round-faced man hands Ivan, the mustachioed guy, an envelope. Ivan puts the briefcase his goatee-bearded friend was carrying on the table.
Yeah, thank you. You got a briefcase.
Hard. Waiting for visual confirmation.
No disc yet.
Ivan checks the money in the envelope, then opens the briefcase.
Case is opening.
A waitress blocks Gracie's camera.
Ah, oh, Jesus, woman's ass is in the way.
Gracie moves the book away from her.
Hart, we can't see a goddamn thing. We need to see the discs.
Gracie stretches, raising the book over her head.
This broad's got two asses. Hart, do something.
Excuse me.
No? You wanting something else?
Yeah, I really love this borscht.
Or, as they say in Russian...
Having hugged the woman, Gracie reads from the book, which she holds up, giving the guys in the van a clear view.
All right, Hart, we got the disc.
We're moving in.
The side of the van slides open, and the guys, wearing FBI jackets and holding guns, head towards the restaurant. Matthews whips his gun out of a cardboard box, and Grant slinks off down a side alley. Gracie surreptitiously gets a gun from her ankle. Entering the restaurant, Matthews leads the charge. Ivan, the tall, slim guy, and the round-faced guy get edgily to their feet.
No English.
Ложиться на пол. Bistro на пол.
Gracie shouts, gun raised.
Bistro на пол, huh?
The round-faced guy throws a nut into his mouth. He looks like he's choking.
Hark! Nobody moves until I see some goddamn ложиться на пол.
Gracie grimaces, looking concerned.
Sir, he's turning purple.
Hark! we secure, you stay.
The round-faced guy hunches over, gripping his throat. Gracie pulls the face.
Sir.
Hart!
The guy collapses.
Sir, that is one really, really purple Russian, sir!
He is still armed. Nobody moves.
Hands up! Back off! Back off!
She points her gun at the tall, slim guy who's reaching for his gun.
No, sir, he's not gonna die like this!
Hart!
It's not good enough for that!
She grabs the round-faced guy. Peanut pops out.
Now you're going down.
He reaches for a knife and grabs her, holding the knife to her throat.
Grab the guns!
Gracie steps hard on his foot, then twists the knife out of his hand, elbows him in the face and flips him onto the floor. Agent Grant is shot in the arm by the goatee-bearded guy. Ivan and the tall guy fire wildly as they back away. Agent Matthews charges out the front doors and heads round to the back of the restaurant. Ivan and the tall guy race through the kitchen. Ivan barges on, rummaging through a shelf until he finds an automatic gun. He backs out into an alleyway. Matthews awaits Ivan and knocks him to the ground with an empty dustbin. Matthews then pulls his gun as the tall guy emerges.
Party's over, boys!
Another armed agent behind him now. The tall guy puts down his gun. Matthews looks down at Ivan.
How's your head, my little Piroshki?
Inside.
He's gonna put you away for a long time. You know that?
He's on his way. Let's get that ambulance in here!
Shut up.
I'm leaving. Stay with me, all right? Listen, don't be sorry, okay? You did a great job.
Restraining the round-faced guy, Gracie looks guiltily over at her boss, who's with the injured Grant. Her boss, FBI Assistant Director Harry McDonald, meets her gaze, his face full of reproach. Outside, an ambulance drives away from the scene. Gracie stands alone as Matthews comes out with McDonald.
Nice work, man. See you back there, okay?
You got it.
Matthews wanders over to Gracie, pulling off his woolly hat.
Come on, Hart. Man's waiting.
I got Grant shot. I shouldn't have moved.
Come on, you made a choice. It was wrong, but that's it, it's over. By the way, you look like hell.
Matthew swaggers off, leaving the bedraggled Gracie staring after him. Tears in her eyes, she wearily hangs her head. Later, Gracie lets herself into her darkened apartment. She flicks on the light and throws down her keys, mail, and the two bags she's carrying. Stomping into the messy bedroom, she takes off her guns and holsters and tosses them onto the unmade bed. Heading towards the kitchen, she trips on the bedclothes and starts lashing out, flinging her jacket onto a chair. She blusters into the kitchen and takes a microwave meal for one out of the freezer. She opens it carelessly and, viciously piercing the film on the top, throws it into the microwave. She tries to shut the door, but it swings open. Grabbing a wooden spatula, she jams the door shut, then turns the microwave on. Marching back into the bedroom, she trips on the bedclothes again, this time falling flat on her face. Gracie gets angrily to her feet and stomps into the living room where she puts on the stereo. Gracie straps up her hands, then stretches her arms and moves over towards a punch bag which is suspended from the ceiling. She starts to punch it with all her might, her face full of rage. Her long dark hair in scruffy plaits which swoosh about as she moves, Gracie performs a spinning kick. She returns to punching the bag, her blows becoming increasingly uncontrolled as she lashes out ferociously. As her strength wanes, Gracie clings to the bag, breathlessly resting her face against its worn surface. With one last burst of energy, she gives the bag a final punch. Black-gloved hands tap away at a laptop computer. Words appear spread out all over the screen with no real format. Pinned to the wall above the desk where the laptop sits are articles torn from different newspapers. A headline reads, "Bad citizenship." Another reads, "Citizen delivers threat." A third reads, "Citizen claims responsibility for stadium attack." The words from the laptop screen are printed out on a piece of paper. Gracie comes out of her apartment as her dog-walking neighbor emerges.
Good morning, Miss Schwartz-Nazi.
Morning, Gracie.
Hart. Yes, sir. Sir, yes, ETA, 20 minutes. No problem. Breakdown? Yes? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Negative, do not need assistance. 10-4, sir. Yes, I know it's hot.
Gracie gets in her car, puts a flashing red light on its roof and speeds away. She screeches round a corner, cutting up a cab, then charges down a side road, tailgating a car in her path. She veers round it, then thunders across an intersection, narrowly avoiding the other cars around her. Suddenly she spins round, coming to a jerky stop and getting out of the car. She shows her badge to an irate meter maid. Gracie races up some steps into a packed building. She pushes through the crowds.
Sir, inside, please. Emergency, official business.
business, ma'am. Side, please. Side, please. Thank you. Official business, sir. Ma'am, emergency. Please step aside, sir.
Hey, get lost. I'm waiting here, huh?
FBI, you might want to stay out of this, all right, sir? Excuse me, sir. Ma'am, please. Back off.
She steps up to the counter.
All right, I need 8 double tall...
One.
She glares at the complainers.
8 double tall lattes, 1 with no foam, 5 iced venti decaf percent lattes with the long straw, 4 caramel macchiatos, double up on the cup, I got a long way to go.
A large silver shield reads Department of Justice Federal Bureau of Investigation. Gracie dishes out the coffee.
So, what's going on? Where's McDonald's?
Forget about McDonald's. They put out an APB on my frappuccino.
It's in the bag. So, have you heard anything about last night? Did he say anything?
Look, just relax, all right? Don't annoy him. Don't say anything. Don't argue.
I don't argue. I never argue. When do I argue? I might have a heated discussion with somebody when I might get very passionate about what I say, but...
Is this you not arguing? Because you suck at it.
Morning, everybody.
McDonald arrives.
Morning, sir. It's, sir.
Okay, everybody. I know you're all concerned about Grant's condition, so I'm happy to report Jerry's going to be fine. He'll be out of the hospital in 2 weeks. He says he's expecting lots of gifts.
Gracie frowns.
Okay, everybody. So much for the good news. We got another letter from the citizen.
Arson, explosives, poison. This guy never works the same way twice.
McDonald puts it on the projector.
The only thing we know for sure is we get these letters full of incomprehensible riddles, and then he strikes, and suddenly the clues make sense. This one is down in intelligence. Hopefully, we'll get a lead before somebody gets killed. In the meantime, Matthews, get a team together.
Sir? You want me to take point?
For 5 years, you've been talking about running an op. Well, last night, you earned it. Pick a team. I want preliminaries by 3. That's it.
As McDonald goes, the briefing breaks up and Matthew's colleagues go to congratulate him. Gracie hurries after McDonald.
All right, so who's buying me lunch?
Sir, I would really like to talk to you about what happened last night. I realize I didn't exactly follow orders.
Exactly follow orders. There's no such thing. You follow orders or you don't follow orders.
No argument, sir. None whatsoever.
I'll be hearing in 2 weeks. Until then, you're out of the field.
Sir, yes, I expected the hearing and it's totally warranted, but wouldn't my time be better spent working on the citizen case?
Not in my opinion.
I have a very strong background in profiling and decoding.
Forget it.
I really think I could contribute.
Like you contributed last night? By putting yourself and 5 other agents in jeopardy? Now, I'm going to save the rest for the review board, and you are going to bury yourself under a mountain of paperwork.
Sir,
discussion is over.
Gracie looks deflated as McDonald marches away. Later in a bar, Gracie reads the letter from the citizen. It opens to the blissfully ignorant. Gracie drops a blob of ketchup on the letter, which she cleans off with a napkin. In front of her, onion rings, chips, and a half-eaten burger. Gracie wipes her mouth and looks up.
Hey, Mike. Give me a pint.
Rough day, huh?
The worst.
Sure you want a whole one?
Oh, yeah. Hit me big time, baby.
Hey, Einstein. Listen, if you figure out that citizen letter, let me know, huh?
Yeah. Congratulations on the op. That's a big shot.
Yeah, thanks. So how you doing, huh? Oh, they're starting early today, no?
Yeah, I'm gonna get chip-faced. Wanna join me?
Love to, but I got a pressing social engagement.
A blonde.
Hey, Beth.
Brownie meeting.
Hey, Mike, give me a beer and,
Milk.
Give me milk.
White wine spritzer.
So,
are most of the people in here agents?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, here's an agent right here. Gracie Hart, Beth Carter.
Wow.
Right back to you.
Beth is an undergrad at Vassar. She's doing a paper on law enforcement. I'm going to help her get an inside look.
And I bet she'll do the same for you.
You know, Gracie, I would love to get a woman's point of view.
Oh, no, Beth. You're barking up the wrong tree. Right, Hart?
He gives Gracie a playful punch.
Do all the women in the bureau have to wear those really masculine shoes?
Eating ice cream, Gracie sucks on her teeth and looks down.
Oh, no. I get these made special by the same guy that put the tattoo on my ass.
Listen, we're gonna leave you alone with Ben and Jerry. Catch you later, Hart.
Yeah, it was nice meeting you.
Me too.
Gracie stares sullenly after the pair as they go.
Hope you have a good time at the mall.
I'm telling you guys, Wohop is the place.
Yeah, Wohop's is good, but if you like a little variety, you go to La Chinita Linda on 8th Avenue.
Exactly. The rice and beans are slam.
I don't want variety. I get pork fried rice every single
time. Got it. Figured it out. I was trying to create a content-based pattern that was similar to his previous letters, but this time he was using a signifier. In this case, the sound prefix or the word miss in the subsequent letters right here.
Look,
will you let me finish? It's the Miss United States pageant.
Yeah, intelligence thought so too.
What?
All right, so what do we got?
Miss United States pageant from San Antonio, Texas, home of the Alamo.
I forgot the Alamo.
In the pageant lasts 3 days. You got preliminaries, press conferences, the telecast, which goes out live. It's a logistical nightmare.
Not just a babe fest.
And we've only got 48 hours.
That's it.
Okay, okay, gentlemen. Where do we start?
Eating takeout, the guys look stumped.
I got a cousin in Texas.
You might want to call the
network and the pageant people, set up a meeting.
Everyone stares at Gracie.
Because you'll probably need their cooperation at some point.
Yeah. Yeah, I can do that.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
What about jurisdiction?
Mm-mm-mm. The citizen's been our territory from the start, so that shouldn't be a problem. But what you might want to do is call up the San Antonio office, grease some wheels so they don't feel like we're taking over their turf, you know, when we need manpower tech support.
Yeah, while I'm at it, let's do that.
Good idea.
And the citizen nut loves to make a splash, so his target will probably be public, like one of these outdoor prelims, maybe even the TV broadcast.
Telecast is at the convention center. That means we're going to need all kinds of surveillance on the interior perimeter.
No, we're going to need a lot more than that because there's about a million places that only these bikini stuffers can go, like backstage areas, hotel rooms, things like that. I think we need to get somebody in there.
Yeah. Now I'm thinking.
Matthews gets out of his chair.
Undercover.
Good idea, boss.
And I got just the girl.
Later, they are gathered around a computer. The profile of an attractive blonde agent appears on screen.
That's nothing. Check this out. Compliments my daughter, the Dress Up Sally website.
Gracie stands behind the guys who share appreciative glances. The agent at the computer uses the Dress Up Sally website to take the agent out of her suit and put her into a strapless gown.
Yeah, see what I tell you. Hot, right?
Yeah, baby.
Very nice.
You got a little problem.
Well, she's perfect.
Look to the left. Down, down, down. There you go.
On maternity leave? That's not gonna work.
Not unless it's the Miss Lamaze pageant.
They all look round at Gracie with disbelief.
Let me ask you something. Can you do a search? Female field agents under 35?
The guy at the computer does a search. An unappealing woman with short frizzy hair and glasses appears on screen. He dresses her up in a swimsuit. Everyone, including Gracie, cringes.
Oh, Jensen.
Later, a large crowd has gathered around Agent Jensen as he finds more female agents on the computer and dresses them up. As another unattractive woman is put in a swimsuit, crisps and snacks are thrown at Jensen. Jensen brings the handsome, dark-haired Matthews up on screen. Popcorn is thrown. Matthews frowns as he's taken out of his suit and put into the strapless floral gown, his hairy legs on show. Matthews bows to his audience.
You think that's good? Check this out. I got the winner right here. That's what I got.
Matthews brings McDonald up on screen. He laughs, sucking on a lolly as he prepares to do his worst.
Here's the best part right here.
Matthews removes McDonald's dark suit, putting them into the swimsuit. Matthews is oblivious as McDonald appears behind him and the others peel away. Matthews' face falls.
He's right behind me, isn't he?
Not really my color, is it?
Matthew stands.
So, you're just looking for someone to go undercover at the pageant.
And I'm the best we have. It doesn't inspire much confidence. Get back to work. And Hart, shouldn't you be at a desk?
Yes, sir.
Gracie shoots Matthews a look.
What's the matter with you people? You're standing right behind me. You don't say anything.
What? Kind of eyes in the back of my head that I can see these things?
What are you standing right behind
Wait,
me?
What about this one?
What were we going to say?
What? This one. What, are you kidding? It's Hart.
Oh, come on, cut it off. Let's go back to work.
Hart,
wait.
They put Gracie in a swimsuit. She looks fantastic.
Hey. Okay, very funny.
No, hold on a second. Hart, that's not bad.
Hold on, nothing. You know, you might want to hit the save button because you're never going to see that again, all right?
Oh, come on.
Take it off.
Later in a large gym hall, Gracie hits out at a rubber male torso. Matthew swaggers over.
What do you say, Hart?
No freaking way.
Come on, Sparky, why not?
Because I'm not going to parade around in a swimsuit like some airhead bimbo that goes by the name of what, Gracie Lou Freebush, and all she wants is world peace?
It wouldn't be like that. Come on, you'd be an important member of the undercover team.
Yeah, right, in a thong.
She high-kicks the dummy.
In a tasteful one-piece. Come on, look, you do a few butt-shaping exercises. You tighten this up, you can pull this off.
You know what? Pull this off. What is it, because McDonald hates me?
He doesn't hate you.
What, is it like a woman thing?
She has him in a neck hold. He flips her onto a mat.
Don't kid yourself. Nobody thinks of you that way.
She brings her leg down behind his neck, then gets him in an arm lock.
He's punishing me, isn't he?
Listen, I had to beg him to let you do this.
What?
Yeah, that's right. Like it or not, you screwed up, pal.
Sit down.
Some of Matthew's team watch as Gracie gets the upper hand, with Matthews on his back and Gracie with her knees locked either side of his face.
This
may come as a shock to you, but I've never been in a beauty pageant before. I don't even own a dress. I don't even own a brush.
Matthews grips her torso with his legs, pushing her onto her back.
Which part of that is supposed to shock me?
She tightens her knees around his face. He strengthens his grip, his ankles crossed, his trainers pressed against Grace's cheeks, squashing her face.
All right, let's suspend reality for like a second and pretend like I said yes. I've got to do like everything, like the whole big hair and the makeup and...
Damn right. The spinning, the twirling, the smiling, the cute little tap number.
She breaks free.
All right, $100 on Matthews.
I don't know, man. She's got a lot of rage.
Gracie leaps into the air, landing on Matthews.
I'll take that bet.
On her feet, Gracie gets Matthews in a headlock. He flips her onto her back. Matthews raises her arms victoriously.
That's right.
Yeah, baby.
He looks down at Gracie.
She's saying, I have to wear the bathing suit.
Yeah, you have to wear the bathing suit.
Okay.
She kicks his legs out from under him.
You go, girl.
They both lie exhausted on the mat.
Well, where am I going to put my gun?
No place I want to know about.
Later, out in the street.
What could possibly motivate anybody to enter a beauty pageant is beyond me.
Scholarship money, chance to see the world, broaden your horizons, meet new people.
So join the Marines. It's like feminism never even happened, you know? I think any woman to do this is catering to some misogynistic Neanderthal mentality.
I dated a young Miss Scarsdale last month.
Oh God, can you really be this superficial?
Hard to believe, right? All right, here we are. Therefore, we'd like to use one of our team undercover.
I'm not sure I'm hearing this correctly.
Kathy, these people want to put one of their agents in the pageant.
They want her to win?
Oh, no, ma'am. But we will need your help with the judging to make sure that one of our agents gets into the top five. That way they have access to all the areas on the stage at all times.
Absolutely not.
Miss Morningside, we understand how important this beauty pageant is to you, and so...
Excuse me. This is not a beauty pageant. This is a scholarship program, and it has been ever since my reign. Fully intend on maintaining that credo.
Absolutely, Miss Morningside. We're here to protect the girls, women, the scholarship ladies.
There's nothing more important to me than the safety of my girls. I'd rather cancel the pageant than have one of them blown up.
Especially without their knowledge.
Well, we went to the network to have them cancel the pageant, but they refused. We can't force them.
Kathy's colleague.
I'm confused. What state is she going to be from? All the winners have already been chosen.
Don't worry about that, Mr. Fields. We recently discovered some information about the winner from New Jersey.
And a performance in a little film called Armageddon On.
Was that her?
Oh, yeah. So she was probably going to drop out pretty soon, if you know what I'm saying.
Kathy Morningside looks unimpressed.
Well, do you have an agent in mind?
Matthews glances at Gracie, who raises a hand.
Sorry.
Gracie looks bemused.
Let me get you Victor Melling's number.
Frank.
He's a pageant consultant. Huh. Frank. Maybe he can do something to help. Frank!
Nervous gingerhead Frank shuffles in.
This is my assistant, Frank Tobin.
Hi, everyone.
Would you get these people Victor Melling's number, please? And get me a spring water. And for God's sake, tuck in your shirt.
He does up his jacket.
That was a water for you, and,
Victor Melling's number.
Later, in an elegant restaurant, a smartly dressed middle-aged man sits at a table sipping a cocktail. He stands as the maitre d' ushers a suited man with a glamorous woman towards him. They walk straight past, and a scruffily dressed Gracie and the suited Matthews approach.
Mr. Melling? How are you?
He looks Gracie up and down. She swallows under his disapproving gaze.
If you are Grace Hart, I quit here and now.
Yeah, it's having a bad hair day. Bad hair decade, really.
Mr. Melling, I'm Eric Matthews. We spoke on the phone.
Your hair is perfect. However, I can't accept this job. There's no way on earth that I can make this woman ready in 2 days.
Oh, please, Mr. Melling, give it a chance, huh? Sit down. Have lunch. Totally on the bureau.
Yes, I suppose that would be the civilized thing to do.
Matthews looks nervous.
Actually, I'm going to take a rain check. I got a lot of FBI stuff I got
to
take care of. That thing, Hart.
What
I told
thing?
That thing I told you about,
you
I got to do.
Anything. It.
Well, listen, I'll see you later. We'll hang out.
Plus
you like caps?
Cannibals.
I'll get you an official FBI cap, all right?
Yes,
pardon
sir.
Me. Yes, sir. See you later. Be good.
What a pity.
Oh, here.
Are you hungry?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is always yes, never yeah. Sit down.
She does so.
Miss United States is always well-spoken and polite. Do you understand?
Hey, 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 watch the hands, garçon.
Excuse me, madam.
It's all right, Philip. I have a feeling we're going to need a drop cloth later.
Gracie tucks heartily into a large hunk of steak. She dips a piece into her pasta sauce, then stuffs it into her mouth and chews, her mouth partly open. Victor watches in disgust as she washes down the mouthful with a slug of beer straight from the bottle.
Philip, could I have another Cabernet Sauvignon, please? Another cake for you?
I'm good, thanks.
It's okay, Philip.
So, now how long have you been doing this peasant training thing?
I'm sorry? What was the question? I was distracted by the half-masticated cow rolling around in your wide-open trap.
Excuse me, what is your problem?
Problem?
Yeah. I mean, yes. I mean, have I offended you in some way? Because quite frankly, you've been completely antagonistic to me since the second I walked in that door.
Did you know that I was once the most sought-after, highly paid consultant in pageant history?
I had no idea.
Every season, girls would plead with me to train them. 10 out of 11 years, my girls were crowned. The year we lost, the winner was a deaf mute. You can't beat that.
Gracie nods, her eyebrows raised.
Then, in 96, my girl froze like a puddle halfway through her aria from La Boheme. Afterwards, she told a reporter from Pageant magazine that I was a crazed perfectionist who had harangued her to within an inch of her sanity. Of course, after that article came out, nobody wanted me.
Rubbing her fingers around the rim of her glass, Gracie thinks.
Okay, well, with all due respect here, why did Miss Morningside suggest you then?
Because I am the best.
He lifts his chin pompously. Gracie narrows her eyes.
Or perhaps it's because everyone else worth having had a contestant. They had their Southern belles, their Midwestern farmer's daughters, spunky Western cowgirls, and I have...
He eyes her as she picks her teeth.
Dirty Harriet.
She continues to run her fingers round the glass.
Will you desist?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
The mismatched pair leave the restaurant. Gracie swaggers off, surly-faced.
Oh, my God. I haven't seen a walk like that since Jurassic Park.
Yeah, well, you know what? It's been working really well for me for the past 30 years, all right?
Well, glide. Now glide. What? Look, don't look down. Don't look down. Look, don't look down. Look up. Your chin should always be parallel to the floor. Now glide. Glide. It's not the bloody ice capades. Glide.
Gliding.
She moves awkwardly.
No. Don't pick your feet up. Don't pick your feet up. Why are you picking your feet up?
Because I'm preparing to run away.
No, wait.
What?
Watch me. Glide.
He demonstrates gliding off along the pavement.
See? Glide. It's all in the buttocks. Don't I look pretty?
It takes a very secure man to walk like that.
Gracie frowns.
Roll your hips. Head up. Keep gliding.
A cab almost hits them.
I'm gliding here!
What are you, blind?
Red wire is coiled around a black-gloved finger. A taut piece of the same wire is cut in half. A section of plastic explosive is cut from a large slab. A magnifying glass is held over a tiny junction box connecting several wires. Miniature tools are used to fuse a wire onto the junction box. An eye peers through the magnifying glass. A private jet takes off soaring through the sky. On board, Victor points at a model on the monitor.
She's floating, lightly ascending from cloud to cloud towards heaven.
And when she gets there and he takes one look at that fake rack, he's gonna send her right back.
Victor takes a sip of his drink.
Look, she's gonna cry again. Oh, if I only had a brain!
I am somewhat less than amused.
Victor gets up and walks away, passing Matthews, who sits nearby. Matthews, making notes, looks up and taps him with a pencil.
So, how's she doing?
With some intensive work, she'll be ready for the world's finest trailer park.
Gracie waves, feigning emotional gratitude.
Both painful and grotesque, isn't it?
Gracie acts up.
Oh, my God.
The plane has landed. Bald-headed black agent Harris gets off, followed by Matthews, who turns to Victor. Gracie trails behind.
Okay, Mr. Vic, got everything you asked for. Where do we start?
Teeth, hair, manicure, pedicure.
Which one first? Hey, guys, my teeth, what are you going to do to my teeth?
Hopefully, remove the beer stains and steak residue.
Later, Gracie is having her teeth cleaned.
Can I get some Novocaine?
It's only a cleaning.
No, I'm talking about Sweeney Todd back here. What are you doing?
Your hair should make a statement.
As long as it doesn't say thank you very much for the Country Music Award, ow!
You'll be lucky if I can get it untangled.
No mercy.
Can I borrow that drill?
Victor gives the hairdresser a nod.
Attention. Attention. All hair removal units. Wax, electrolysis, laser to commence at 2300 hours.
Gracie has her fingers waxed. Ooh. Next, her legs. Victor wanders amongst the chaos approaching Harris and Matthews as they prepare their rifles. Walking stiffly, wearing a turban and an eye mask, Gracie mooches past.
Bikini wax.
Matthews pulls a face, as does Harris. A table is laden with food. People help themselves to platefuls. Matthews approaches, turning to a pretty redhead.
Hey, how you doing? You ever seen one this big? Sandwich, I mean. A lot of meat.
Wearing a face pack, Gracie grabs a steak sandwich. Victor takes it.
Thank you. Nobody said this job was easy.
Giving her a stick of celery instead, she bites into it. Matthews tucks into a donut. She stomps off, chucking the celery at him. Matthews shows her some gadgets.
This earpiece lets you hear anybody on our frequency. Can hear you.
Don't need that with all this foil in my head. I'm getting HBO.
A US flag brooch.
This is a pin camera. There's an actual little lens in there. Provides a digital video feed to our hookups. All right. Here's your new IDs, your pageant identity.
Gracie takes a look.
Gracie Lou Freebush?
Yeah, I remember you liked that name.
Yeah, well, my IQ just dropped 10 points.
Victor puts an arm around a goatee bearded guy.
More fluffy. Eyebrows. There should be two.
Victor and a beautician move a space-age hair-heating device towards Gracie.
Another two coats and a sealant.
Unbelievable. Huh?
I don't know.
I mean, where the hell is she? What could possibly be taking this long?
Outside the airport hangar, inside which preparations are occurring, agents Matthews, Harris and Klonsky wait by a taxi. Suddenly the hangar doors are opened and Victor and his huge entourage emerge. The group peel back and a transformed Gracie is revealed, stunning in a skin-tight blue mini-dress, her groomed long dark hair blowing in the breeze. She sexily removes her shades and struts on towards Matthews, who can't believe his eyes. He takes off his sunglasses, gawking in disbelief.
Is that you?
I'm in a dress. I have gel in my hair. I haven't slept all night. I'm starved and I'm armed. Don't mess with me.
She trips and falls, quickly recovering.
Whoa! I'm fine. I'm cool. I'm good.
She struts on.
Oh, yeah, that's her. Mr. Vic, nice work.
Thank you.
Ouch!
My God, I'm good.
The Alamo Dome. A large electronic sign reads, Welcome, Miss United States contestants, you're all winners. A large model of a cowboy looks skywards. Tourists visit the Palestine Alamo. The sign outside a movie theater reads Miss United States Rules. A small ferry boat travels along a canal. People sit at tables with colorful parasols alongside the waterway. A sign reads Miss United States San Antonio. Girls walk about wearing their sashes. The taxi from the airport hangar pulls up outside a hotel and Victor and a nervous-looking Gracie get out. Matthews and the others sit in an MPV nearby.
Okay, Gracie Lou, listen up.
Operation Thong has commenced.
Why don't you stun gun yourself?
I knew she'd like that one.
Victor gives her a sash.
Victor?
Try not to speak.
Victor!
Why, Miss Morningside, if it's possible, you look more radiant than ever.
Well, then I guess it's possible. Hello.
Hi.
Kathy stares at Gracie in shock.
Miss Hart? I mean, Miss Freebush. Well, Victor, I see you haven't completely lost your touch. You look absolutely perfect. And you're just in time for the orientation breakfast. Oh, Victor, you'll take the bags to the room. I realize it's been a while since you've been with us, but you remember how everything goes, don't you?
One little mistake and I'm a bloody bellhop.
Kathy's assistant, Frank, sees the girls onto a bus.
Oh, hiya. Washington, nice apples.
Original, you come up with that all by yourself?
No.
As Gracie approaches with Kathy, she trips over. Kathy helps her up.
New Jersey, welcome.
Gracie stumbles again. Kathy watches stony-faced. Unsure of herself, Gracie gets onto the bus, which is packed full of beautiful women. They watch her suspiciously. Gracie moves on along the bus. A strawberry blonde looks up.
Oh, hey, New Jersey. This one's empty.
Gracie sits beside her.
I'm Cheryl Fraser from Rhode Island.
Hi, I'm Gracie
Lou Freebush. Yeah. I memorized the orientation pamphlet. I know all 49 ladies by name and picture. Well, 50, including myself. But your picture wasn't there, so I knew it was you from your lack of picture.
Here we go. How about a little song for the drive? You know the one I mean.
From sea to shining sea, like Lady Liberty.
Not joining in, Gracie glances around her awkwardly. The tram-style bus pulls away. Later, Gracie and Cheryl join a throng of other contestants as they enter a vast dining room. Matthews, Harris and Klonsky watch on a monitor from a hotel room. Gracie talks into her earpiece.
Entering Barbito.
All right, people, we're up and running.
Ooh, I love my job.
It's not a bad view, huh?
Nah, not at all.
Oh, look, there's our table! I got here 3 days early, so
look at all the hoochie mama.
Hey, Hart. Oh. Hart, not the pastry.
Gracie grabs one from a tray.
Ladies, I would like you to meet Gracie Lou Freebush from New Jersey. This is Karen Kranz, New York.
What's up, Jersey?
Mary Jo Wright, Texas.
Hi there.
Belinda Brown, Tennessee.
Hi.
I like that.
Hi. Oh, yeah.
Leslie Davis, California.
Hey, girl.
And Elena Krusen, Hawaii.
Aloha.
Aloha. Aloha. You too.
I just want y'all to know, I believe what it says on that sign at the Alamo Dome. We are all winners.
Hey, Hart. You think she's hungry?
The most important thing is that we're getting our issues out there for the people to hear.
Oh, I know. And it's an honor to have made it this far. I mean, especially when you come from such a small state.
Oh, that's so true. Us Rhode Islanders.
I wasn't finished. Did it sound like I was finished?
Sorry,
my deals. What are you apologizing to her for? She's obviously been drinking too much copper tone.
Are you talking to me?
Yeah, I'm talking to you. I'm looking at you.
Question. In Hawaii, don't you use aloha for like hello and goodbye?
So
if you're on the phone with somebody and they won't stop talking, how do you get them off? Because you say, okay, take care, aloha. Don't they like to start all over again?
Elena, Miss Hawaii, narrows her eyes. Karen, Miss New York, frowns. Cheryl laughs. Gracie munches a bagel.
She thinks I'm funny.
Hart, you copy?
What's up?
Oh, it's not working.
No, what do you mean it's not working?
Five minutes ago. Yeah, it was working before.
Matthews and the guys look panicked. In the dining room, Kathy and Frank step on stage. Frank checks the mic.
Check one.
Kathy pushes him aside.
Thank you so much. Thank you. For the past 21 years, it has been my honor to serve as director of this pageant. And I know that this year will be our most exciting event ever.
In the hotel room, Matthews taps his mic.
Couple of geniuses I'm working with. Hey, let's go.
After the rehearsal and a photo shoot, you'll be able to settle into your rooms. And then tomorrow, we will begin the preliminaries hosted by our master of ceremonies, an American institution, Stanfield.
Perma Tan Stan gets to his feet. Some of the contestants stand.
Thank you, Kathy.
Let's go. Get it back online.
We're working on it, boss.
Thank you, Kathy.
Isn't she
ravishing?
How does she do it? All I know is I wake up every morning, I look in the mirror, and I say, "Who is that old man wearing my pajamas?" And even though I'll be retiring this year, don't cry for me. Alabama.
That's so sad. He's retiring.
Oh, he's not retiring. I spoke to him this morning. The poor man blurted out the whole thing. They're firing him. Going for someone newer and younger.
Gracie listens.
I hope it's Ricky Martin.
Klonsky.
Hey, 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 hey.
Gracie jumps up as he reconnects the mic in the hotel room. Everyone looks at her.
Oh!
Stan and Kathy share a look. Gracie stands.
Oh, I had a bite of my bagel and I forgot to pray.
Stan shakes his head. Gracie gets to her knees.
Oh. Dear Jesus, please forgive me for not praying before I had a bite of my bagel and schmear. Thank you very much.
Amen.
Matthews and the others watch amused. Later, the girls pile off the tram-style bus wearing exercise gear in their sashes. In a hall, they do aerobics. Gracie gets glares as she kicks out karate style. She has trouble keeping up with some of the moves as their muscly male teacher, dressed all in black, leads the girls, jerking and jiggling his body. Gracie looks lost as the girls spin. Nearby, Miss Hawaii is supremely poised. Unable to keep up, Gracie just does her own thing, her own way. Wearing a white robe, Gracie peers through the spy hole and sees the vacant-looking Cheryl. She rolls her eyes, then opens the door.
Hi.
Hi.
I hope I'm not disturbing you.
Oh, no, I was just, you know... I was grooming.
I made some of my famous hot chocolate.
Oh.
Cheryl holds up a flask.
Oh,
Gracie glances at the bed.
Well, my roommate's asleep, or she's starting to mold. But, Do you want to come in?
Cheryl skips in and bounces girlishly on the bed. Gracie runs round and leaps on the bed, mimicking her.
I asked some of the other girls, but as soon as they heard the word chocolate, they slammed their doors in my face. They didn't even give me a chance to say non-fat.
Oh.
Gracie sniffs her mugful.
Here's to world peace.
World peace.
The girls have a sip. Gracie spits hers out.
Hot.
Oh, I'm sorry. You know, I have to tell you, I thought it was really great how you settled that argument today at orientation. Aloha, aloha. Mm. That's why you're gonna win. Mm? You're so clever. You should tell jokes for your talent. What is your talent?
It's kind of like a, it's like a surprise.
Ah.
Yeah. But don't worry, it's nothing embarrassing, you know. Not anything like, you know, baton twirling or anything. So, what's your talent?
Cheryl looks hurt.
Oh, Cheryl, I'm sorry. Twirling, it can be a real art.
Yeah.
I saw this girl once, a cheerleader, doing it at a football game, and she lit her batons on fire and did this sexy dance. I wish I could do something like that.
Well, why can't you?
Oh, my parents don't like anything ostentatious, and they really don't like fire.
Look, I mean, I think you have as good a chance as anybody to win. I mean, you obviously believe enough in yourself to have gotten this far, right?
Really?
No?
Wow. You're so nice and so smart and so sensitive. You're definitely gonna win.
That's it. Excuse me. I am in the middle of a REM cycle over here.
Sorry.
Mary Jo, Miss Texas, wearing a green face pack, sits up in bed. Gracie shows Cheryl out. Gracie chuckles to herself as she goes back into the room and, turning out the light, gets into bed. Mary Jo has headphones in her ears as she dozes. Gracie snuggles down.
Yes.
Gracie opens her eyes. Matthews is outside.
Not happening.
Gracie gets out of bed and goes to the patio doors, which she slides open.
What?
You took your earpiece out. Vic needs you.
Now? Eric, I haven't slept in 2 days.
I'll give you a cookie.
Better be a big one.
On a stage, Gracie's...
Don't walk, you float. Gently descending, you don't look... down, go back up,
fine.
Do it again, never ever look down, okay? Thighs touching. Touching, not clenching.
Touching.
There's a gap between your knees and your calves and your ankles.
You know, right now there's a huge gap between my brain and my spinal cord, right?
On her way back up a flight of stairs, she turns back.
Here, take these.
She produces an array of guns and ammunition from under her sapphire blue gown. Victor looks bemused. The objects keep on coming. Even a pair of handcuffs are produced from her slender stocking thigh.
What, no armored car?
That would be in my other dress.
By the way, what are you planning to do for your talent? Sing, dance, chew with your mouth closed?
I will do whatever you want me to, Yoda.
Oh, Lord.
Victor turns and marches off.
Agent Matthews, this woman has no talent.
Gee, Vic, you don't gotta shout it out right in front of her.
I was not told to provide a talent, and I am certainly not equipped to do so in the next 5 hours.
Wait a minute. What the hell are you talking
about? I am saying that tomorrow she'll be on stage with nothing to do but convert oxygen into carbon dioxide.
Hey, you also said you couldn't make her beautiful in 2 days, and look at her now. Look how gorgeous she is. I mean, compared to the car wreck she was before.
My duties are clearly stated in the contract, and I have fulfilled them all.
Listen to me. You talent her up by tomorrow morning, or else
we're not... Are you threatening me?
Listen to me, you old fruitcake.
How dare you, you cupcake?
Hey, time out, guys. This is something I know how to do, all right? I haven't done it since high school, but it's kind of like riding a bike.
You are not having sex on this stage.
I didn't know that was an option, all right? Look, this thing, I just got to call room service.
She starts to go.
Miss Hart, please.
She takes a donut out of the front of her dress.
Thank you. And the other one.
She takes one from the other side and hands it to Vic.
Thank you.
Gracie goes, passing an agent, searching the place with a dog. The animal sniffs at her and she glances back at Victor and Matthews.
All right.
She produces another donut.
Happy, you donut Nazi.
A people carrier pulls up on a deserted airfield, its headlights bright in the darkness. A figure dressed all in black, wearing a hood and black gloves, gets out of the vehicle carrying a naked mannequin. The figure puts the mannequin down on the tarmac and brushes back its blonde hair, revealing a small device fixed to its forehead. The mysterious figure activates the device with a small remote control. A red light flashes briefly on the mannequin's head. The figure then gets back into the people carrier and reverses. From behind the wheel, the figure presses a button on the remote, and a light on it flashes red. The mannequin's head explodes. Back at the hotel, Gracie and Matthews stroll outside.
Did I tell you that Stanfield was getting fired?
I'm on it. Look, you just concentrate on being Gracie Blue, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, you're doing a great job. Thought the evening gown looked... I mean, I totally bought it.
I know. You think I'm gorgeous.
What? I don't think you're gorgeous.
You think I'm gorgeous. You want to kiss me. You want to hug me.
Look, I think McDonald is more feminine. I'd
you
rather kiss him.
You want to love me. You want to hug me. You want to smooch me. You want to...
He stands close, looking like he's going to kiss her. She tilts her face towards his, and he leans in a little nearer. Lifting a chocolate bar to his mouth, he takes a bite.
Enjoy the rest of your night.
She pulls a face after him as he goes. Gracie slips back into her room through the patio doors. A new day. The girls are getting ready for their talent performances. Cheryl spots a yawning Gracie.
Gracie, you look so tired.
Yeah.
Oh, she had a busy night. I saw that gentleman stop by the room. Gentleman?
Uh-huh.
That's not allowed. No men in the room.
Oh, but things are different here on the mainland, 5-0.
Now, hold on, ladies. Let's just hear her side of the story. And you said it would have just that.
Matthews and the others are listening in.
Oh, that guy? No. I was dating him for a little while because he told me he had an incurable disease.
Ooh.
Yeah. I didn't realize it was stupidity.
Oh, I know what that is.
All right.
Yeah. He is such a pathetic loser. It's like, I'm sorry he's obsessed with me, but at some point it's like, hello, move on, get over yourself, hello? I mean, his ego is like this big, but his equipment is like this big.
Oh! Yeah,
good cover. Yeah, we worked that out together.
Use that sucker for a needle.
All right, back to work. Get ready for the Alamo. Let's go. Break it up.
Stan is on an outdoor stage.
Thank you. And welcome to the Miss United States pageant preliminary here at the beautiful and historical Alamo. Yes. Prepare for what promises to be a day of astounding musical, theatrical, and dancing talent. And after I'm finished, you can see the ladies.
Stan wiggles his behind.
Holy cow. And now, put it together for Miss Mary Jo Wright from Texas.
A few Stetson wearers in the crowd whistle approvingly. Elena plays the flute. Leslie, Miss California, sings. Another contestant makes things out of balloons. Cheryl twirls her batons. Wearing a sexy-style Bavarian full-line costume, Gracie wheels a table laden with lots of different glasses, partly filled with water on stage, revealing her very frilly knickers. Kathy turns to Stan.
What's her talent, bartending?
Gracie runs a finger around the rim of a glass. She drinks some water from the glass, then tries again. She rings a little bell. Victor stands beside Kathy.
I thought I made it very clear you were responsible for making her look credible, Victor.
I wish I could explain. But there are no words.
A serene expression on her face, Gracie carries on. Gracie spots a bearded cowboy in the crowd, fiddling edgily with his jacket.
Eagle Eye. Check out Cowboy at 1 o'clock.
My 1 o'clock or your 1 o'clock?
Right under the White Stetson.
White Stetson, there's Stetsons everywhere.
The guy moves through the throng.
Okay, he's moving.
Bogey's moving towards the stage. He's definitely shooting. Anybody?
Hold on a minute, we're checking it out.
Guys.
As he nears the stage, Gracie has her gaze fixed on him. He keeps searching through his pockets.
Hey, you guys, he has a gun.
He's got the 20 on the shooter.
It's in a holster on his hip.
Taking him out, you guys.
No, wait till we have a visual.
The guy reaches for the gun.
Gun! Gun down! Gun!
The cowboy stares, a cigarette in his mouth, as Gracie flings herself off the stage towards him.
Better up till then, don't you think?
Later on TV.
In a very bizarre incident today at the Miss United States preliminaries, the contestant from New Jersey leapt off stage and tackled a man in the crowd who was just trying to light a cigarette. Gracie Lou Freebush is her name. She's here with me right now. Tell me exactly what were you thinking when you jumped off the stage?
Well, as you know, all the contestants are actively involved in trying to end America's dependence on tobacco, so needless to say, I think the gentleman will think twice before he lights up again.
I'm sure we all will.
A stony-faced Kathy turns off the TV and struts past Gracie, who sits with Stan.
Look, he had a gun.
Of course he had a gun. This is Texas. Everybody has a gun. My florist has a gun.
I don't have a gun. My ancestors were Quakers.
Stan, please.
Look, we're going to assume that any man with a weapon is a suspect.
Not anymore. We got the DNA results. The envelope from the citizen was licked by a woman.
DNA? There's never been any DNA before.
Well, he slipped up, or I should say she.
This is preposterous. You people are completely clueless. I mean, if I ran my pageant like this, we'd be holding it in someone's basement.
Miss Morningside, every operation is bound to have its screw-ups.
As far as I can see, she's still with us.
Gracie loses balance.
Oh, God. Gentlemen, could I have a moment alone with Miss Hart, please?
Sure.
The guys start to file out.
Just for a tiny minute. Well, just be a moment. It's just shop talk. Hair gel mousse.
Kathy rounds on Gracie tight-lipped.
Look, I know I made a mistake. I'm sorry.
Kathy nods.
You know, I've been fighting all my life against your type. The ones who think we're just a bunch of worthless airheads. You know who I mean. Feminists, intellectuals, ugly women. But I refuse to give in to their cynicism. That's why I have dedicated my entire life to this scholarship program. And no one's going to ruin that. Not this year. You get in my way, I will kill you.
Gracie raises her eyebrows.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
Yes!
Yes.
Gracie forces a smile, revealing her white teeth. Kathy puts a hand in front of Gracie's mouth. Gracie spits some gum into her palm.
What?
Later.
The interview is the single most important part of the pageant. It accounts for 30% of your total score.
Yeah, what's the other 70%? Cleavage?
Matthews joins Harris and Klonsky.
It's your idea of doing final preps on the convention center? Come on, let's go.
Harris goes.
Look at this. Liberace's got her in a nice evening gown. And McDonald called. He saw Hart's little anti-smoking commercial. He's on his way down.
Oh, good. Perfect. Because I'd hate for him to fire me over the phone. I can't believe this.
It's going to be ugly.
Yeah, no shit. Look, I got to do something. I'm going to go do laps, all right? Back in 15 minutes, we'll go over tomorrow's assignments.
You got it.
Klonsky watches Victor and Gracie.
Ankles crossed. Neck up. And remember, smile. Smilers wear a crown, losers wear a frown.
I would so love to hurt you right now.
As long as you smile. Now, why is New Jersey called Garden State?
Because it's too hard to fit oil and petrochemical refinery state on a license plate.
You know, I don't appreciate your selfishness and immaturity when I'm working as hard as I am.
You know what? What is the difference? Big deal. It is fixed. I'm in the top five. Congratulations to me.
But is that enough? Have you no pride in yourself, in your presentation?
You know what? I'm an FBI agent, all right? I'm not a performing monkey in heels.
You're also a person, and an incomplete one at that. In place of friends and relationships, you have sarcasm and a gun.
Oh, I have sarcasm? When every word that comes out of your mouth is dripping with disdain?
Ah, that is because I am a miserable, grumpy elitist, and that works for me.
You know what? I don't have relationships because I don't want them. And I don't have friends because I work 24/7. And you have no idea why I am the way that I am.
Well, as we're practicing interviews here, why are you the way you are?
None of your damn business, that's why.
None of your damn business? Oh, the judges probably have never heard that before. We have more to do here.
She pulls a gun and aims it at him.
No, we are finished.
Victor hands back a donut.
Finished.
She grabs the donut and hurries away, removing her sash.
Command, give me a 20 on Matthews right now.
Be advised, he's at the pool.
She marches out. Victor looks through his question cards.
How do you feel about gun control? Favorable.
Still wearing her chiffony pink gown with spaghetti straps, Gracie arrives at the pool. She throws a ball on Matthew's head as he swims up and down, oblivious to her. He stops.
Just thought I'd let you know I was quitting, all right? Take care.
Hold on a second. Wait a minute. What do you mean you're quitting?
I mean, you got the wrong girl, all right?
Hart, I do not need this now.
I know you don't need this right now. That's what I'm saying, all right? I'm totally screwing up in there. I don't even feel like a real agent anymore. And then Vic says this thing that's like, so... You know, I don't care what he said. I don't care. I don't care, you know, because I am the job. I am the job, and I'm okay with that. I mean, you're the job, right?
Yeah, I'm the job. We're all the job.
You're the job. So then what's wrong with me? I date. I go on dates. I know everyone thinks I haven't had a date in about 10 years. Is that what you think?
I think you date.
Damn right I do. But you know, both times it was totally screwed up. You know what? I don't even care. I don't care. All I want to do is my job. And for the last 3 days, I feel like I'm completely lost.
Hart, listen to me. I've been waiting 5 years to run my own. I think I'd blown on the wrong girl.
No. I know the only reason you picked me is because I'm the only one who looked half decent in a bikini and wasn't on maternity leave.
No, that's why they let me pick you. You want to know why I picked you?
Lost a bet.
Because you're smart. Because you don't take any crap from people. You're funny. You're easy to talk to when you're not armed. Give yourself a break. Cut Vic and the rest of the pageant ladies some slack. Because if they ever get a chance to see what I see, then...
He eyes her.
They're gonna love you.
She meets his gaze.
So what do you say?
Looking exhausted, she glances away, thinking hard.
All right, I won't let you down.
Good. That's what I want to hear.
I mean, in all honesty, I might let you down. But I'm gonna try my best not to.
She beams. He reaches out to her.
Do not mess with the dress.
Pulling her into the pool, she emerges soaked through.
Oh, Vic is gonna kill you.
What?
You in big trouble.
Why, you fell?
Big trouble.
You look good wet.
Shut up.
The contestants, wearing swimsuits and their sashes, are preening themselves in a crowded dressing room. Gracie peers nervously round a corner. The hotel room where the guys have set up their observation room is full of agents, with Harris Klonsky looks up at the screen.
Whoa, guys. Hart's in the dressing room.
There
come
we
on,
go.
Come on.
All right. Oh, you see the legs on that girl?
Who's your daddy?
Gracie steps out wrapped in a towel. She steps up to a mirror and takes a look at herself, quickly closing the towel again. Victor approaches her with a rubber boob in each hand. Gracie turns to face him.
Those better be candy dishes.
Turn around.
She turns back to the mirror.
Open.
She reluctantly opens the towel and he slips the fakes into her bikini top.
This guy's like an inch from death. You see this?
Yeah, but what a way to go, though.
Yeah, chumps, break it up. Nothing to see.
What do you mean?
What do you mean? She's a federal agent. Come on, give her a break.
Matthews blocks the monitor. Gracie turns to Victor.
Well, good. I guess it's time to apply at my local Hooters. What, hemorrhoid ointment? Do you really think the judges are going to be looking that closely?
It's for the little baggies under your eyes.
She takes the cream.
Good hairspray. Finally something I recognize.
He sprays her bottom.
Hey, what are you doing?
It stops the suit from riding up.
Riding up where?
Just up.
That is enough.
Why do you make things difficult for me?
Oh, yeah, I can see this is an incredibly embarrassing situation for you. Ah, okay, why does Georgia get to wear one piece and I have to wear this?
Listen, if you can do this, you can convince anyone that you belong here.
Places, everybody, let's go.
The swimsuit preliminary accounts for 15% of the total score. Attest the grace, athleticism, and poise of each lovely woman.
Look, the last time I was this naked in public, I was coming out of a uterus, okay? I don't have any breasts in my thighs. I should be wearing a moon, really. Look, I have been avoiding this experience my entire life.
And here it is. You must achieve a zen-like state. Listen to your breathing. Feel your heartbeat. Think of the Dalai Lama.
Victor whips off the towel Gracie has wrapped tightly around her. The stunning girls in their red or pink swimsuits parade proudly on stage. Gracie struts her stuff like a pro, a tiny sarong wrapped around her hips. Three of the contestants pose on small circular podiums. The one on the right in the spotlight. Stan speaks into a handheld mic.
Texas!
Beaming Mary Jo stands in the spotlight.
Rhode Island!
It's the sweet-faced Cheryl's turn.
New Jersey!
The gorgeous Gracie steps into the spotlight, desperately trying not to giggle as the mainly male audience goes wild.
Nebraska!
Dolly Mama.
Hard-faced, Kathy watches Gracie step off the podium, giggling. Glaring at Frank, she passes him. Kathy steps up to Victor and slaps him across the back of the head. Later, Miss Hawaii has the mic.
I would have to say world peace. Definitely world peace.
That's easy. World peace.
World peace.
What is the one most important thing our society needs?
Grace's turn.
That would be harsher punishment for a parole violator, Stan.
She smiles broadly at the unsmiling audience.
And world peace.
Victor smiles to himself as the crowd show their appreciation.
Thank you, Gracie Lou.
And thank you, Stan.
She waves gracefully at the crowd.
Cheryl Frazier from Rhode Island. Let's see.
That was charming. Are you drunk?
I'm glad you enjoyed it, Matthew. Excuse me, I have to go and screw my smile.
Matthews appears.
Hey, gotta leave.
What, the blood test?
Photos. Cheryl Frazier, with members of a radical animal rights group involved in several bombings.
It's always the quiet ones.
Anyway, she fits the profile. Loner, introverted.
Cheryl? That Cheryl?
Describe your perfect date.
That's a tough one. I'd have to say April 25th, because it's not too hot, not too cold. All you need is a light jacket.
Stan looks speechless.
Right, now there is a hardened criminal.
Gracie walks away.
Hey, listen to me, Sparky. Maybe she's an accomplice. Maybe she's his inside connection. Maybe she's totally innocent. That's what you gotta find out.
How?
I don't know. Coax it out of her. Buddy up to her. You know, girl talk.
Girl talk?
Yes, girl talk.
Gracie looks incredulous.
I'm sorry, I'm totally drawn to blank.
Well, leg waxing, fake orgasms, the inability of men to commit.
Well, why don't you go talk to her?
Just imagine that she's me and there's something you want to know, but I don't want to talk about it. What would you do?
You want me to beat it out of her?
Why don't you go talk to her?
Okay, you know what? Forget about it. I will go.
Whoa. Wait a minute. What are you doing? Put that back in your ear.
I can't talk girl talk with a guy in my head. Can't even do it with me in my head.
Having given Matthews her earpiece, she psychs herself up.
Girl talk.
Gracie saunters through the gym carrying a takeaway pizza box. Karen and Leslie gaze longingly at it.
Oh my God.
Hey, Rhode Island. How you doing?
How can you ask that? You heard my interview. I was like a female Rain Man.
Oh no, it definitely wasn't Rain Man. That definitely wasn't Rain Man. Come on.
Come have a midnight snack with me and some
girl talk. Come on.
Are you crazy? You can't have pizza and beer. Do you know how many calories you're talking about?
It's light beer, and she's gonna throw it up anyway. Come on.
Cheryl looks sheepish.
No? No takers? No? All right, well, you know, I'll just sit here. You guys go back on your little bicycles, and I'll sit here with my very large cheesy pizza. Ooh, look at all that cheese.
The girls crowd round.
Cheryl, don't.
I don't know.
I mean, at least scrape off the toppings.
First step pizza, second step flaming batons.
Cheryl bites into a slice.
Oh, Lord, give me some.
The girls all dig in, even Miss Hawaii.
I guess we'll be needing some more pizza.
Later in a packed club, Gracie, Cheryl and Karen, spattered with fluorescent paint, are up on stage playing giant bongo drums. Wielding her drumsticks wildly, Gracie throws her head from side to side. Up on a balcony, Mary Jo with the other girls points excitedly. Gracie follows Cheryl off the stage. They join the others on the balcony. Leslie, Miss California, is tucking into a slice of pizza. There are beers and more pizza on their table. The girls scream out as Cheryl, Gracie and Karen return.
Another round, ladies?
They all take a test tube of tequila from the waitress and each down it in one.
Question.
You know what? Don't worry about that. We all suck.
You know what? I had such a good answer to that question, too.
Yeah?
My idea of a perfect date would be a man who takes me to a romantic dinner and then we walk along the beach barefoot discussing books and music and movies.
Oh, yeah. No wonder you're still a virgin.
Hey.
Okay. Time to paint. Come on.
No. No.
My contact.
Come on, puñetas. Ven acá.
We're gonna stay here.
No, I want some pizza.
We're gonna have some more pizza and beer.
The others go, leaving Cheryl and Gracie alone.
This is so much fun.
Yeah, it's fun. It's so fun, it should be illegal. Yeah? Speaking of illegal, like, have you ever, like, committed a crime?
Yes. Yes, I did.
Gracie shifts closer.
Go on.
One time I stole red underwear from the department store. My mother wouldn't buy them for me. She said they were Satan's panties.
Cheryl glances heavenwards. Gracie smirks.
So is that it?
Oh, well, there was this one thing in college with my lit professor. And one day I came to his office because he said he wanted to discuss a paper I wrote. I wanted to discuss a paper, right? Hey, can I get another one of these 2B things?
Yeah, can we get another, 2B? More?
Anyway, he attacked me.
Gracie looks shocked.
Cheryl, did you report him?
Oh, no, I never told anyone before this. I know that kind of thing happens all the time.
No, it doesn't. Cheryl, it doesn't. You know, there's, like, so many maneuvers that I could show you that could...
Really?
Yeah. Come on, you know what? Get up. All right, now I want you to firmly plant your feet. Right here,
okay.
Right? I'm gonna move the chair. Hold on. Now, if somebody comes at you.
As Gracie turns away, Cheryl topples over. In the ladies' room, Gracie presses a wet cloth to Cheryl's face.
She's completely trash. You know, we should get her back before this morning side.
Oh, Kathy's just got to boot up her ass about something. Oh, I don't think she ever got over those rumors.
Come again?
You know, her pageant year, she was a runner-up, but then the winner just mysteriously gets food poisoning.
Bizarro.
Stan told me that she got a letter like a few weeks back from the network, and they're firing her too. She threw a chair out the window.
Cheryl collapses on Gracie.
Okay, we gotta go. Come on.
Look, I got 20 people here waiting for confirmation.
McDonald's on the phone in the surveillance room. Gracie hurries in.
No, don't tell me.
Matthews approaches her.
Yeah, I hate it when I don't see that wet paint sign.
Okay, stop it. Listen.
What? I can't hear you. I took out my earpiece.
Will you stop? I have a lead, and it's not Cheryl.
Are you sure?
Forget it, Picasso. Looks like they bagged a citizen.
What? Where?
All right. It's confirmed. He was holding up in a little shack in Nevada. Face had enough C4 to make a new Grand Canyon. Let's pack up and get the hell out of here.
Sir, I need to talk to you for a minute. Just one second at a time.
Hart.
Just hear me out for a second. I really feel that the situation bears further scrutiny in our continued presence here at the pageant.
What are you, deaf? He just got paint in your ears. Look, we caught the guy.
Sir, I hear what you're saying. I totally respect that. If I were you, I'd probably say the same thing to me. But what if we were wrong? What if the citizen didn't send the letter? What if it was a copycat? No, sir, the letter didn't follow the normal pattern. The linguistic scheme was totally uncharacteristic. And the DNA said it was a woman.
Maybe he got his girlfriend to lick the envelope.
Sir, I think we have reason to monitor Kathy Morningside.
Really? Why don't you jump on her dressed like a Bavarian fruitcake? Look, you are the reason I had to drag myself down here in the first place, and I don't want to hear another damn word.
Yes, sir. You're absolutely right. Not another damn word.
Thank you.
But, sir, she's getting fired this year, which she neglected to tell us.
Hart, you're already in enough trouble with the review board.
Yeah, but you know, the other thing, when she was in the pageant, the only reason she won the crown was because the winner mysteriously got food poisoning. How bizarro is that?
Bizarro?
Oh, and another thing, she threatens me, and according to Mary Jo, she has a history of violent behavior.
Who the hell is Mary Jo?
Look, where are you getting the information from, a pajama party?
No.
Would you just shut up?
Why, you're shutting up enough for the both of us.
Matthews.
Yes, sir.
Is there any reason to suspect Morningside?
Gracie looks steadily at Matthews. He meets her gaze uneasily. She raises her eyebrows. The others observe, grim-faced.
No, sir.
Gracie looks away, shaking her head. MacDonald lifts his hands despairingly.
Sir, I request permission to stay behind with a small contingent of agents.
Denied.
Then I request permission to stay behind alone.
You know what? I don't care what you do. You want to stay, stay. But as a private citizen, turn in your badge and your gun. All right, everybody, I suggest we start packing.
Yes, sir.
Gracie looks at a guilty-faced Matthews with hurt and anger.
What? Come on, don't look at me like I just betrayed you.
No, betrayal implies an action. You just stood there.
You got nothing to go on.
No, you know, I know everyone thinks I'm a screw-up, all right? But for the first time in my life, I feel like I'm in the right place at the right time, and I have to protect those girls. It is my job.
Fine. Part of doing the job is following orders.
The other part of that job is using your brain, Eric. Take the rule book and just throw it out the window.
I like the rule book, okay? I like knowing what I can and cannot do. You're not the only one who lives his life for the job. And I want to keep mine for the next 20 or 30 years, thank you very much. Just give it a rest.
Sure, give it a rest.
She turns away from him and takes off the gun strapped to her ankle.
Don't do it.
She dumps her gun and badge in his hand and strides out of the room. Matthews looks sadly at them, then stares at the closed door, his eyes moist. He looks down again at the objects in his hand, sighing deeply. Kathy sits in her office looking through some typed letters. There are also letters in front of her made up of words cut out of newspapers. She opens a drawer in the desk and takes out an ornate beauty queen crown. She places it on her head and, looking emotional, lifts her hands to her mouth, her palms pressed together. She waves demurely like a beauty queen.
Thank you so much.
A shadow passes across the wall.
Hi, Mom.
It's Frank.
Don't do that! That slow, creepy thing in the shadows. Your father used to do that.
Mom.
He trudges over towards the desk.
This isn't gonna work.
Well, honey, of course it's going to work.
But since the feds caught the citizen, we've got no one to pin it on.
Okay, that was bad luck. But what about all of these other letters from terrorist groups threatening us? Women's Liberation Front, Islamic Jihad. They're not so nuts about the swimsuit competition. I mean, any one of these groups could have planted a bomb.
When did we get those?
Well, I just finished writing them, Frank. Just like the citizen letter.
You're a genius.
No, Frank. I'm just pissed off. Nobody fires me and gets away with it. The network wants a newer, hotter show. They're gonna get it.
Mom, you're a little scary.
And you're a little bit sloppy. Now tuck your shirt in. I don't want to tell you again.
He quickly tucks it in.
Let's go home, honey.
Mom?
Oops.
He nods towards the crown on her head. She takes it off, putting it back into the drawer she took it from. Morning. Matthews and the other feds are outside the hotel loading their things into the MPV. Matthews looks around him, grim-faced. Klonsky turns to him.
Need a hand, boss?
I got it.
Inside the hotel, Gracie charges along the corridor and into Victor's room. His suitcase lies open on the bed. He's in the bathroom.
Okay, Vic. Beautify me. Hair, makeup, shellac, whatever it is you do. Where's that shiny stuff that you keep putting on my lips? I love this. Where are you going?
Your agent, MacDonald, insists that I depart. Or I won't be compensated.
No. After the top 10, I am completely on my own. The FBI is gone. It's not fixed anymore. I need you.
Not anymore. The cocoon is open. I've taken a woman without a discernible smidgen of estrogen and transformed her into a lady.
No, Vic, come on.
I've never been proud of myself.
He turns to her.
Or?
He puts his hands on her shoulders.
Of any girl that I have ever coached, you are truly unique.
If I ever had a daughter, I imagine that she would be something like you.
She smiles warmly at him.
Which is perhaps why I've never reproduced.
She rolls her eyes.
Okay, Vic, look, I have a really strong feeling that something's going to happen to these girls. You need to stay for me, please, please.
I can't. But I can leave you this. I was saving it for tonight. It's your size, I believe. Okay. Good luck to you, Gracie Lou.
He lifts her hand and pulling back the long sleeve shrouding it, he kisses it.
It's been a privilege.
Clutching the large flat gift box, Gracie watches him go, then slumps down on the bed. Outside, a troubled Vic leans against the doorframe for a few moments before walking away. In the dressing room, the contestants are getting dolled up. Miss Hawaii glowers at Miss New York.
What? No insults today? You're a Don Ho.
Has anyone seen Gracie? I can't believe she misdressed for herself.
Well, maybe she couldn't take the pressure. She ate four slices last night.
We all saw her glasses performance.
She is not making the top ten.
Oh, hi.
Sorry, overstep my beauty.
Gracie Lou, do you need help? No.
Gracie fumbles with her makeup.
Okay, you know which one of these is the lipstick?
The girls are shocked. Cheryl.
Ladies!
They all rally round Gracie, helping her with her hair and makeup. On a sandwich board outside the hotel advertising the contest, a sign reads, sold out. Smartly dressed guests make their way into the vast hotel. In the auditorium, the many seats are full. Two spotlights crisscross above them. A curving catwalk is edged with white lights. The girls make their way up a staircase.
Good luck, ladies.
Frank approaches Mary Jo.
Looking good, ladies.
Would you do me a favor? You please go back to the mothership?
As long as you go with me, Texas.
On her way up the spiral staircase, Gracie has her eyes on Kathy, who talks to a stagehand, a briefcase on the floor beside her. She's struggling with a pill bottle. Gracie watches as Frank hands Kathy a bottle of water. She swallows back a pill as he retrieves the lid from the floor. They go, leaving the briefcase.
Yeah, you ready?
Gracie, where are you going?
I got my breasts. Hold on, I'll be back.
Gracie hastens back down the stairs and over to the briefcase. She crouches down, moving her ear towards it.
Going live.
In 5, 4, 3.
It's the 75th annual Miss United States pageant live from San Antonio, Texas.
Music too.
Gracie looks round. The girls are making their way onto the stage. Gracie is startled as a stagehand moves the case and opens it. Inside there are several mics.
Oh, good, you're using that one because that's one easy one.
Gracie leaps to her feet and turns towards the stairs. She sees she's missed her slot and charges off in another direction. On stage, jets of sparks erupt like fountains. The girls, all dressed like the Statue of Liberty and carrying illuminated torches, glide across the stage and onto the catwalk. Gracie wakes in the wings, clutching her torch and part of a polystyrene map on which the words New Jersey are embossed. She waits her turn and hurries out to stand beside Ohio. The girls part at the front of the catwalk, peeling off to the right and left. Almost jogging, Gracie hands her props to a stagehand and joins a group of contestants for a smiling pose. As they move off again, Gracie pulls a face. The girls step into a formation and twirl. They break into the dance moves they learnt with their muscle instructor. A look of concentration on her face, Gracie manages to keep up. Miss New York performs expertly with a big smile on her face, her curly black hair bouncing on her shoulders. Frank and Stan watch from the wings, fists clenched, Stan moves jerkily to the beat. On stage, the girls stretch out their arms and wiggle their behind, smiles fixed on their faces the whole time. Looking glamorous and almost at ease, Gracie performs every move perfectly. Her long black hair swooshes out as she turns back and forth. Dry ice wafts across the stage as the girls make one last circuit of the catwalk. Gracie smiles out at the crowd. Grouped together, the girls stand on or in front of three-tiered steps and with a final flourish lift their right hands in the air.
For the evening, Stan Fields.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to a night of beauty, talent, and poise. And I'm not just talking about my co-host, Kathy Morningside.
Kathy shimmies past the girls.
Hello, Kathy.
Stan, you charmer, but you forgot to mention incredible intelligence.
That was incredibly stupid of me. How can I make it up?
By helping me to announce the top 10 finalists chosen based on their performance during the preliminaries this past week.
And here's the envelope.
Thank you, Scott. Ladies, hold your breath.
Kathy opens an envelope.
Hawaii!
Our beautiful country.
Elena struts her stuff in the TV control room.
Going to two.
California!
Leslie kisses Karen.
New York!
Karen celebrates.
Alaska! Texas!
Mary Jo's eyes are wet with joyful tears.
New Jersey!
Gracie fans her face in surprise as she makes her way down the steps. She falls flat on her face in the TV control room.
Oh, that was graceful.
Well, that must have hurt. But she's up and at it.
Her hair caught in her Liberty-esque crown, Gracie continues to smile, mouthing thank you at the audience.
And last but not least, Rhode Island.
Cheryl is open-mouthed. She covers her face with her hand.
And there they are, this year's top 10 finalists.
A busty blonde TV host.
Well, the top 10 have been chosen, and we'll be right back with tonight's swimsuit competition.
At the airport, the feds unload their stuff from the MPV.
I checked out Kathy Morningside again, like you had asked.
Yeah, anything?
Not even a traffic ticket. Model citizen, beauty contestant, pageant director, loving mom.
But she's married?
Widow, one son.
A sniveling, obsequious weasel of a human being.
Know her son?
So do you. It's Frank.
Frank? Her assistant, Frank?
Asshole Frank? One and the same.
That's weird. She never mentioned anything. Anything come up on the CCH?
Nothing on Frank Tobin. But there wouldn't be, would there? His name's Morningside. He changed it to cover his many indiscretions.
Wait a minute. How do you know that?
I have been around this pageant for many years. I could shock you with the intimate details I'm privy to.
Matthews looks troubled as Vic disappears onto the plane. Matthews looks at his watch, his brow furrowed. Back at the pageant, the girls, not in the final 10, parade in their swimsuits. In the dressing room, Gracie does up the lacy corset of her Bavarian glass plane costume. An edgy-looking Kathy watches everything on a TV monitor. In the dressing room, Gracie approaches Cheryl, who's in her baton-twirling outfit, and hands her a black velvet bag.
Hey, you got your skin.
She reveals golden batons.
But I couldn't. Oh, no, you can. You ate pizza, you stole panties, you're a wild woman. We can only work on this, remember?
Gracie gives the thumbs up.
You're gonna be great.
Cheryl steps towards the mirror, nervously clutching the batons. Matthews and Vic race up to the hotel.
Can I see your tickets, sir?
Federal office.
He shows his badge.
I'm with him.
Vic holds up a compact. The guard lets him through. On stage, Cheryl holds her new batons. She moves sexily to the beat. She raises her batons in the air and suddenly the ends ignite. In the wings, Stan and Kathy are open-mouthed. Gracie and Cheryl's other friends look impressed, as does the audience. Kathy gives Stan a whack with her mic. Meanwhile, Cheryl tosses one of her flaming batons into the air and twirls before catching it. She flips upside down, doing a no-handed cartwheel, then lands niftily back on her feet. Matthews and Vic approach the stage.
Gentlemen, you can't go in. Oh, Victor.
He's with me.
Vic gives her a wink.
Wait a minute, I'm not with him. It's not like that.
Come on, Muffin.
Vic drags Matthews off, raising his eyebrows. On stage, Cheryl tosses a baton high into the air. The audience are open-mouthed as she catches it, posing in a final confident stance. As Cheryl takes a bow, Stan and a stony-faced Kathy pad onto the stage.
Thank you!
She certainly lit my fire.
Cheryl and a very excited Gracie hug. Vic gestures to Gracie, who grins broadly, seeing him, and hurries over. He ushers her through a curtain, beyond which Matthews waits.
Hey, Art.
What are you doing here?
Listen to me, I think you might have been right. Frank is Kathy Morningside's son.
Frank, what, disgusting, perverted Frank?
He cleared under another name. I ran a new CCH, got a rap sheet, DUI, assault, even a weapons charge.
We doing full deployment? What are we doing?
McDonald didn't want to hear about it. It's just us. We gotta go find Frank.
Frank's backstage with a cardboard box.
Good show, Mr. Tobin.
Frank nods at the security guard and opens the door to a janitor's cupboard and deposits the box inside. The stage director finds Gracie.
Oh, here you are. You're up next, New Jersey.
I gotta get my glasses.
She rushes off.
Hey, what are you doing? You're drinking my talent.
I'm sorry, we didn't know.
What are you gonna do? You gotta make it into the top five.
Can you whistle?
No.
Make hand puppets?
No.
I once had a girl who rearranged furniture.
No, you said it. All I have is sarcasm and a gun.
Yeah, then a right hook.
On stage.
And now, the musical stylings of Gracie Lou Freebush.
In full Bavarian costume, a nervous-looking Gracie takes to the stage.
Good evening. I know the program says I'm supposed to play the water glasses for you, but some of the girls got dehydrated.
No water glasses?
What, you want to go to commercial?
No. Wait, just stay on her. Go with it.
And I believe that no woman should be without at least a basic knowledge of self-defense. So in order to show you this, I'm going to need a little help. And I would like to bring out my assistant, Eric Bob.
Matthews wanders on stage.
Four changes. All
right, just follow her. Stay on her.
Like maximum damage with the least amount of force. Okay, now in some cases, your attacker might come at you in a frontal assault.
He steps towards her and she whacks him in the nose.
Oh! Yeah. Use the heel of your hand and thrust it upward. This will cause the nose to break and your assailant's eyes to tear, giving you a chance to get away. All right, let's say your assailant comes at you from behind.
Gracie steps forward and moves into a masculine stance, her back to Matthews. She turns to him.
Attack me. Oh, Widow Erwick looks a little scared.
He shakes his head.
Maybe he needs a little bit of applause.
In the wings, Stan looks amused. Kathy watches with a scowl. Stan steps back as Frank joins them and gives his mother a meaningful look. She follows him to one side. On stage, Matthews attacks Gracie from behind, but she flips him onto his back.
Ouch! She's kicking his ass! Look at this!
Backstage, last year's winner holds the crown.
Lori, you were the best queen ever.
Thank you. That is so sweet.
Ladies, give Lori some room to breathe. Go on now. I need some powder. Lori, you don't have to hold that crown all night.
Oh, it's
my
okay.
God, that is disgraceful. Frank, take this to the prop master. See if you can't get it to really shine.
Now, if all else fails, go for the four sensitive areas of the body. But just remember to sing. S-I-N-G.
Matthews grabs her from behind again. Gracie elbows him in the stomach.
Solar plexus, instep, nose, right!
Matthews hunches over in agony. Matthews hobbles off stage. Gracie skips off in the TV control room.
All right, cue Stan.
Whoa. Welcome to the Garden State.
When we return, we'll find out just who those lucky Final Five are.
Backstage.
All right, let's go find Frank.
Okay, you take our stage left. I'll take this side.
No. Evening gown now.
Carrying the crown taken from Lori, Frank enters the darkened janitor's cupboard. He puts on the light and tosses the crown into the bin. He then picks up the cardboard box he left there earlier and takes out an identical crown, the one which was in Kathy's desk drawer. He points a tiny remote at the crown and a red light flashes on its surface. On stage, Stan opens an envelope.
California!
Leslie Williams is a music major. She believes in the healing power of music, loves opera, reggae, and like any true California girl, the Beach Boys.
Matthews makes his way up a ladder.
Rhode Island. Cheryl Frazier is a science major. Her field is nuclear fission with a minor in elementary particles.
Matthews is on a walkway above the stage.
Nebraska.
For Kelly Beth Kelly, all the world's a stage. A theater major. She helps run a drama program for underprivileged children.
New Jersey. Gracie Lou Freebush hopes to become a pediatrician.
Gracie, it's you. Go.
Her hobbies include figure skating, water ballet, and taking long, luxurious bubble baths.
Matthews beams.
You go, Gracie Lou.
And our fifth finalist, Texas.
Mary Jo Wright is a psychology major. In her spare time, she works in a homeless shelter and eats as much Mexican food as she can get.
Thank you, ladies. You were magnificent.
The losers file off stage. Miss New York, Karen, marches front of stage.
I just want to let all the lesbians out there know, if I can make it to the top 10, so can you. Big up to Brooklyn. Come on.
Get her off of there. Go to Stan.
Karen's dragged off stage. Gracie claps approvingly.
And
We'll be right back with our final five lesbians. Interviews.
Bumper, commercial. Can we say lesbians?
You got a problem with that?
Cheryl.
In a way, America's like a big ship. And when we work together and respect each other, that's when the ship gets safely home.
Vic smiles.
Terrific answer. Damn it.
Kathy sits on stage with Stan.
New Jersey. As you may know, there are many who consider the Miss United States pageant to be outdated and anti-feminist. What would you say to them?
Oh, my God.
Well, I would have to say I used to be one of them. And then I came here, and I realized that these women are smart, terrific people who are just trying to make a difference in the world. And we've become really good friends. I mean, I know we all secretly hope the other one will trip and fall on her face, but... Oh, wait a minute. I've already done that.
Vic smiles proudly.
And for me, this experience has been one of the most rewarding and liberating experiences of my life.
Vic looks moved.
My God. I did it.
And if anyone, anyone, tries to hurt one of my new friends, I would take them out. I would make them suffer so much that they'd wish they were never born. And if they ran, I would hunt them down.
She looks in Kathy's direction. Stan looks gobsmacked. Gracie forces a smile.
Thank you, Kathy.
Stan leads the applause. Vic scowls.
A brief, shining moment, and then that mouth.
In the dressing room.
Looks like you pull it out.
Laurie, the previous incumbent, appears.
Good luck, ladies.
Oh, great. Where's the crown?
Oh. I wanted to rub it for good luck.
Won't Frank take it to get polished, but don't worry, I'll have it by the time they announce the winner.
Oh. Let's go, ladies. You're on.
Oh, my God. It's the crown.
Yes, it is. You can taste it now,
can't you? No.
Let's go. Texas and Rhode Island. And New Jersey. Let's go. In order, please. Let's go. Come on. Finale position.
In the crown. No. Yes.
Where the crown? Be the crown. You are the crown.
Vic mimics Grace's desperate gestures. Matthew searches backstage. On stage.
And now,
the sound
of truth and beauty. The envelope, please.
Matthews and Vic stand in the wings. As Stan opens the envelope, Gracie gestures around her head, mouthing crown. Matthews looks bemused.
What?
A lot of tension. The fourth runner-up is California.
Gracie squeezes Leslie's hand before her new friend steps forward into the spotlight.
The third runner-up is...
Gracie mouths, where is he, at Matthews?
Nebraska.
Matthews looks searchingly around him. He spots Frank behind the set and pulls out his gun.
Am I in danger here?
Anyway, here.
Second runner-up is... Texas.
Mary Jo's smile fades, her disappointment written all over her face as she steps forward into the spotlight. Backstage, Matthews heads for the spiral staircase, which leads up behind the set where Frank lurks. A sweaty-faced guard holds a gun to Matthews' head.
Drop it.
I mean it. Drop it.
This is it. The moment. One of these two ladies will wear the crown.
Backstage.
Listen to me. Reach for my badge, all right? I'm gonna reach real slow.
You do, and you're dead.
Matthews knocks him flying. Frank's poised with the remote.
The first runner-up, who will have to take the winner's place if for any reason she cannot fulfill her duties, is...
Vic waits expectantly.
New Jersey, which means our new Miss United States is Rhode Island Cheryl Fisher.
Don't take it. Don't let me hear you.
Gracie is dragged off stage as Cheryl gets her winning sash.
Lady Liberty.
Laurie glides on stage with the crown resting on a cushion as slivers of silver paper rain down on them. A bouncer is struggling with a writhing Gracie. The other contestants stare at her undignified performance.
Hold your crown up high.
The crown is placed on Cheryl's head. Gracie flips the bouncer to the floor, then gets another in the face with the heel of her hand. Kathy glances up at Frank just as Gracie grabs the crown on Cheryl's head.
Jersey's gone berserk!
Get her off the stage!
Cheryl beats Gracie with her bouquet. Some of the other girls drag Gracie away. Frank is about to press the button on the remote when Matthews grabs his hand and they start to wrestle. Frank drops the remote and it slides across the set. Gracie escapes from the captors and gets Cheryl in a headlock as she prizes the crown from her head. Mary Jo starts a tug of war with Gracie for the crown as Cheryl sobs. Kathy sees Frank and Matthews fighting on the spiral staircase. Reaching for the remote, Matthews knocks it onto the ground. Gracie and Mary Jo are still tussling. Gracie punches her in the face. Mary Jo falls back into the crowd.
Elegance and taste!
Gracie fiddles desperately with the crown. Kathy picks up the discarded remote. Matthews sees her. Both Gracie and Kathy glance round at Matthews. Gracie flings the crown into the air like a frisbee. It explodes, destroying the Statue of Liberty set. Kathy is knocked onto her back by falling debris. Stan looks aghast, finally lost for words. Cheryl faints into Gracie's arms. Gracie struggles to hold her up. The pair collapse in a heap. Stan finds his voice.
She's Miss United States.
The producer looks in shock.
Okay. Good show, everybody.
Outside.
I was right in the middle of my song.
There she is.
Frank and Kathy are led away.
You people got nothing on me. This is ridiculous.
Don't worry, Miss Morningside. I'm sure where you're going, they'd love to meet a former beauty queen.
Shit, and when he says meet, he means M-E-A-T.
Being bundled into a squad car, Kathy turns.
Miss Hart, you don't understand. All I'm guilty of is trying to make the world a more beautiful place. Look at yourself. Why, when I met you, Dennis Rodman looked better in a dress. But now you're a lady. I did that.
No, Vic did that in a team of highly specialized federal manicurists, some people that make you, you know, like, beautiful. You know what? You're under arrest. Get in the car.
You know, you think you saved something tonight, but all you did was to destroy the dream of young women all over this country.
What, you think the dream is to get blown up? Yeah, you got a really good shot at that insanity plea.
Yeah, well, I earned it, honey. 25 years of bitching beauty queens, and what do I get? Fired. They steal my life. They steal my beauty pageant.
Hey, hey. It is not a beauty pageant. It is a scholarship program.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
The disheveled Kathy glares at Gracie from the back seat of the cop car. Gracie hits the roof and the car moves off.
You're running the Miss San Antonio Women's Correctional Facility pageant, huh? Huh?
Matthews wanders up to Gracie.
Get it? The Women's Correctional Facility?
Hey. That was good work.
Oh. Right back at you.
A sooty-faced Matthews looks her up and down.
So, how's it feel? Throwing the old rule book out of the window, huh?
Pretty good, actually.
Yeah?
Listen, I was thinking, you know, when we get back to the city, after we ratify reports and you get all ugly again, I don't know, maybe we could have dinner, you know?
What, you like asking me on a date?
No. Just a casual dinner.
Huh.
If we happen to have sex afterwards, so be it.
They stop walking and she looks up at him with a half smile.
You think I'm gorgeous? You wanna date me? Love me and marry.
Grinning, he turns away. She grabs his lapel and they kiss, tentatively at first, then more passionately. A new day. Smartly dressed in suits, Matthews and Gracie leave the hotel.
You gotta admit, a party's gonna miss this.
I know I'm gonna miss the heels because they do something for my posture, and I'm suddenly very aware and proud of my breasts.
It's funny, me too.
Agent Matthews! Gracie! Thank God you're still here. There's been an emergency at the farewell breakfast. Somebody's found some sort of an incendiary device. Come on.
Gracie and Matthews race inside.
She saved the pageant. She saved our lives. And here she is.
Gracie tries to flee, but Matthews and Vic stop her.
No, come on. I can't go up there.
Not only his idea, Gracie Lou. I knew I'd never get you here unless you had a chance to shoot
you're
someone.
Get yours, Henry Higgins. Go on.
Cheryl gestures sweetly to Gracie, who joins her on stage.
Ladies and gentlemen, Agent Gracie Hart of the FBI.
Gracie gives the thumbs up and tries to escape.
No, not so fast. Because even though you're a federal officer, to us, you will always be Gracie Lou Freebush, the nicest, sweetest, coolest girl at the pageant, and this year's Miss Congeniality.
Mary Jo watches tearfully, her nose bandaged. Cheryl puts a Miss Congeniality sash on Gracie and hands her an award. Vic applauds proudly. Matthews claps and whistles enthusiastically.
I don't know what to say. except for, well, I can't wear this at work. never thought anything like this would ever happen to me. I mean, I kind of hoped it wouldn't, but now that it has, just want to say that I'm very, very honored and moved. And
she glances tearfully at Cheryl.
Truly touched.
She raises her eyebrows, fighting with her emotions.
And
her new friends, Leslie, Elena, Karen, and Mary Jo, look on proudly from the audience, tears glistening in their eyes.
I really do want world peace.
Gracie holds a hand to her mouth, fanning herself with the other. She turns to Cheryl, who gives her a big hug. The other girls come on stage to embrace her. Vic and Matthews keep clapping, their expressions full of wonderment and pride. They share a smile, and a joyous Gracie gives them both a big grin. ITFC audio description, Amy DeLarabiti.
Back together, hey, to break my heart and sell it. My ice cream and fudge, give me a nudge.